This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, and today I want to discuss the important issue of helping our students post-pandemic and really catering to the needs of those learners who have missed so much school and who are coming back to us and hopefully won't be under lockdown anymore, although we don't know what the future will hold. And I've come up with a system, which I hope won't take too long to explain, actually, because it's quite simple. A system by which we can all, as teachers, keep the main things in mind when we're trying to reintegrate our students, I guess, into mainstream physical classrooms. And the system, or the acronym we can use to refer to, is ACE. ACE. And what ACE stands for is Action, Collaboration, and Exploration. Action, Collaboration, and Exploration. We've got to keep these three things in mind when we're trying to help our students when they come back to school this year. My school has just opened here in Bangkok, Thailand. I teach at an international school, so we start a little bit earlier than UK and I believe US state schools as well. And I've seen some of the students coming back and they're very, very excited, generally speaking. They want to get stuck in. They want to meet their friends. They want to collaborate. They want to just really do the best they can. So I think a lot of students are excited about coming back to school. They're excited about mixing with their peer groups again. So what can we do in the classroom as teachers to help these students? Well, the first part of ACE is action. And what action means is that we should get our students moving and using their hands and using their bodies as much as possible within the learning process. Now, for me as a science teacher, this is quite easy because, of course, I can do experiments with my students. But those are not the only things. I might, for example, get my students to walk around the classroom or move around the classroom holding little signs to represent a process like electrons flowing around a circuit, for example, or the movement of energy through a food chain. So getting students moving and modeling the concepts with their bodies can be a very effective way to engage multiple areas of the brain. And of course, these students have not really had that opportunity when they've been sat in front of computer screens for the majority of the past 2 years in some cases. I know that in different schools, in different countries, there's been different degrees of lockdown. But for me personally, many of my students have spent a very large portion of the past 2 to 3 years learning remotely. So we want to get them moving. We want to get them using their physiology, using their bodies in ways to model concepts, model different processes. And also doing things like creating models, building models, even out of everyday equipment. Things like straws and tissue paper and cardboard boxes and plastic bottles can all be used by students to make things, you know, to build models of whatever it is you're studying. Stop motion animations are very good as well, because students are using technology, but they're also using their hands and they're using movement and they are they have to think deeply about the process, about the learning, about the concepts when they're making those stop motion animations. So action, collaboration, exploration. So action means we're getting the students moving, getting the students using their bodies in ways that model concepts, that model processes. Experiments are very good. Any kind of ways to get the students moving and building things is really, really good for helping them reintegrate. Now, part two of ACE is, of course, collaboration. And that's pretty self-explanatory. Getting our students working in teams and in groups where possible. Our students have missed so much time socializing with their peers. And it was only towards the end of the remote learning process when a lot of these video conferencing apps started to think about group work activities. I've used Google Meets for the past 2 to 3 years, for example, and it's only recently that they started, they had the breakout rooms feature. Breakout rooms are, I guess as the name suggests, these little rooms where the students can go into and they can collaborate via Google Meets. But it's not the same. It's not the same as being in class physically with your friends, having a conversation, discussing things in a group physically. You have to be much more alert when you're in a physical classroom. You have to interact more. You have to interact physically with the materials you're using a lot more as well. So it's important we do those collaboration activities. For me personally, I'm going to be doing a range of different things. I will link to a number of blog posts in today's episode description, everyone, which give some ideas for group work activities, for spatial learning, getting those kids moving. That's the action part of ACE. So check those out. But for group work activities, I like to get my students to make infographics, to make stop motion animations, as I've mentioned, to present to the class, to create some kind of presentation. That could be a slideshow. It could be a Prezi. It could be a Canva. A lot of students like to use Canva now. It could be a Scratch animation. Getting students to create some kind of drama or role play or build a model, as I've said, but doing that in groups and in teams, doing group experiments as well for me as a science teacher, and just getting that dialogue happening, building again those teamwork skills, those interpersonal skills, those collaborative skills. Very, very important we get our students skilled up in these different areas, because we're going to have a real disaster on our hands as a society if we don't cater for the needs of this very special post-pandemic group of students. Because when they enter the workplace, they're going to be at a massive deficit, and they really are going to be behind. There are already numerous research papers published showing how millennials and Gen X and Gen Z workforce workforce entrants are less skilled and less resilient and less tenacious than their counterparts in previous generations. And now we've got these post-pandemic students coming through, and the effect on their mental health, the effect on their well-being, the effects on their development have really been profound. So we've got to do the best we can to bridge this gap and to really help these students. So we've done action, we've done collaboration. What about E in ACE? Well, E stands for exploration. And what that means essentially is we should be providing opportunities for students to undergo deep learning as opposed to just surface learning. Now, this is a whole area of pedagogy that is quite complex. But again, there's a blog post in my episode description. Essentially, what deep learning means is that students are engaged in problem solving, and they are they're asking questions, answering questions, and asking more questions. So in a typical exploration process, students will have a question, then they'll have more questions, then they'll do research or some kind of investigation to find answers. Then they'll report back, then they'll have more questions, and the cycle continues. And I've got that from John Hattie, by the way. I can't take credit for that cycle there. But it's true, and we should be giving our students opportunities to find out things for themselves, but in a way that is supervised and guided and supported. One activity I really love to do is it's not really antiquated, but it's a little bit controversial in teaching circles these days, and that is differentiated tables. Used to be called learning styles tables, but of course learning styles is a taboo phrase now in the teaching profession, isn't it? Don't get me started on that, because you know I could talk for hours. But differentiated tables means that you have a table, for example, with resources that are just audio, a table of resources where everything's just on paper and printed, a table where there's computers set up and they're linked to a website, a table where students are watching videos. And essentially what the students are doing is they're learning the same information, but through different media. And with that, you can either get the different groups to change tables every 15, 30, or however many minutes you want. You can have a lesson where groups are at certain tables and you change the following lesson, for example. And along the way, the students should be making notes in some kind of way. They could be making those in their notebooks. They could be writing them on a sketch pad. They could be filling in a Google Doc along the way. They could be doing bullet points. You'll probably want to give students a choice of templates. But essentially what's happening is during the process, the students are finding out new information. Along that way, they should start to ask one or two questions. And when they go to a different differentiated table, they can hopefully answer those questions. You could turn it into a marketplace activity where you give each student a number and the different numbers change tables. You could have a student going to one table, finding out what they've learned and coming back and reporting back to the original group. You can really just play with that in a number of different ways. But it is important that students are involved in exploration, that deep learning investigation. And at the end of that process, there should be some kind of creative output. A great example is a class presentation. They might want to create a website, maybe some kind of instructional video they could create. Maybe a bullet point summary, maybe simply a summary of notes in their notebook. But there should be some kind of creative output. Where possible, give students a choice as to how they want to create that output. And monitor along the way and be vigilant to ensure that students are actually doing the work as well. Oftentimes, as a teacher, I am very much tempted to get the students to work independently and then sit on my computer, my teacher computer, and go through the gigantic list of emails I sometimes have and start doing admin work. Sometimes I do that when appropriate, when I know the students are engaged and I can maybe spend 5 to 10 minutes on my teacher computer doing some important work. But I wouldn't do that for a full lesson. And I think it's important when students are collaborating and they're exploring that as teachers, we are walking around the room and we're checking and we're vigilant and we're asking questions, we're prompting, we're providing hints, we're providing tips, and we're just monitoring along the way. And monitoring also how the students are interacting with each other, monitoring their mental well-being, their mental health, monitoring for any signs of withdrawal, any signs of lack of effort, lack of key interpersonal developmental issues like lack of empathy, lack of sympathy. Also, even with the gifted and talented students, things like leadership skills as well. Who are the natural leaders in different groups? How can you help certain students develop their leadership skills? Don't forget about public speaking as well. Public speaking is such an important skill to master these days, not least because of the rise of voice-based social media, which is, of course, a key marketing arsenal for businesses these days. So students need to master such a wide variety of creative, expressive skills in order to be in demand by today's corporate culture. And that pattern seems set to continue long into the future as well. So we've really got to get the juices flowing with our students, get the creative juices flowing, get their physiology flowing, get them moving, get them expressing, get them exploring, get them collaborating. So one more time, that is action, collaboration, and exploration as well. And with exploration, you can even add expression in there as well. Because a lot of students, when they were learning online, they were learning remotely, they were very quiet. I noticed this oftentimes when I was teaching online. Many students would turn off their cameras and you'd have to remind them to switch them on. Many students would be quiet. You'd really have to prompt a lot of students to talk. And in fact, in those early days of teaching remotely, I don't know about you, but I actually found it to be more tiring and more labor intensive than teaching in a physical classroom, because it was really difficult to get every student engaged and focused and to monitor their work as they were going along as well. So there are issues that we're going to see with students being withdrawn, being quiet, not speaking up enough. So we've got to encourage expression. And again, you know, use things like drama, role play, group presentations, individual presentations, creating YouTube videos, or maybe not published on YouTube, but creating media like YouTubes, or creating videos, creating audio clips, creating animations, even if it's just narrating something as well. Maybe there could be a group presentation where, you know, the slides are just being shown and there's a recording of a narration, you know, if a student is too shy to speak in front of the class. But some kind of expression within that exploration process is going to be really useful for those students, for developing them. They might not like it at first. They might not like the fact that you've now become this teacher who's really keen on getting the students expressing themselves and exploring and moving and collaborating. And, you know, things are going to be different if you do what I've said today, if you follow this ACE system. Things are going to be different for those students. It's going to be a shock. It's going to be a shock to the system at first, and there might be some teething problems. But it will work. It won't take too long for them to get used to it. And it's going to be really good for the developmental process, for getting those students skilled up and reintegrated and empowered as well, to empower those students, which, of course, is essential to what we do as teachers anyway. So thank you, everybody. I really hope that was useful. I hope it was helpful. I've come up with this myself. So, you know, just as a disclaimer here, this is not some peer-reviewed, massively evidence-based system I've come up with here, but it is based upon 16 years of teaching experience. I've taught thousands of students now who have English as a second language, who have special educational needs, and who have all kinds of challenges. And I know from experience that the ACE system will work to help these students. So once again, it's action, collaboration, and exploration. And within exploration, you can add expression as well. ACE, action, collaboration, exploration. Well, I hope that was helpful, everybody. Thank you so much. Until next time, enjoy the new academic year. If you're listening to this at a totally different time, I wish you the very best. And do please get in touch if you have a topic request. You can email me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's info@richardjamesrogers.com. Please do check out the links to my social media, which are in the episode description. In there, you'll find the links to my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all that stuff. And also, why not check out my best-selling book for teachers, which is The Quick Guide to Classroom Management, 45 Secrets That All High School Teachers Need to Know. And that's available at all good retailers. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye for now, and take care. See you next time.